And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 124. My name is Tom Harris. I'm in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the show. A very warm welcome also to anybody who has found the show through the Facebook podcasting community. I finally kind of been getting off my butt a little bit and doing a little bit of promotion for the show. And in this case, kind of cross promotion for other shows. And you've noticed that I've started to run liners for other shows. I've kind of dabbled in the past with that. And of course, I'm going to continue to do that. If you do have a related podcast, like a comics or some sort of a geek related podcast, and you want to be promoted on the show, let me know. We can exchange promos and I'm always happy to help out. It is kind of the way that podcasts get the word out. We can tap into each other's audiences. Back when I was doing a more general interest sort of podcast, I was lucky enough to be involved in a podcast network, and actually an online radio station, where we actually pretty much shared an audience. We actually had an audience for the station itself, and we were able to get different points of views and different sorts of input from the various people who listened to everybody's show. And kind of everybody knew what was going on in everybody else's show. And we guest starred in each other's shows and so forth. It's all very incestuous, folks. And I have to say that the podcasting community kind of is that way. I kind of get the feeling at times that podcasters are really doing their shows, not so much for the casual listener, but for other podcasters. I really don't want to do a show like that necessarily, but it always makes me happy when other podcasters do listen and are interested in what I have to say. And I am, of course, very interested in what they have to say as well. I just wish I had time to listen to everybody's shows. Generally speaking, if I find something that's interesting, I might listen to one or two episodes. And if it doesn't really grab me right off the bat, I just kind of stop listening. I guess that's just kind of the way of the world, I suppose. Anyway, so we are going to be covering Marvel's Thor, The Dark World, Prelude number 2, as promised, and continue on with that. Are you getting excited? I am getting excited. They had another new trailer come out for Thor 2. And yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, as I hope you all are too. And don't forget, we will be covering, of course, coverage of the movie on this show, just like we did with the first Thor. Anyway, so without any further ado, let's go ahead and move on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
And as advertised, we are covering Thor: The Dark World Prelude number 2 of a two-part limited series coming from Marvel. Notably, not part of the Marvel Now imprint, because obviously it's part of the Marvel Movieverse imprint. The cover date on this book is August of 2013, and retailed for $2.99. Like last issue, this cover this month is also a photo cover and taken from the same scene of Thor 2, the sort of battle scene that we've seen various clips from. And this is another familiar kind of stock shot of Thor standing with his hammer down by his side and just kind of staring off into space. Nice photo there of Chris Hemsworth as Thor. And we open up to the splash page where we have the credits. And I'm not going to talk about the credits for the movie and the Marvel Studios people. These are the people that actually worked on this comic. Writers were Christopher Yost and Craig Kyle. Penciler was Ron Lim. I remember Ron Lim. He used to draw the Silver Surfer comic. I used to like his stuff a lot. Inker, Andrew Hennessy with Rick Magyar. Colorists Andy Troy with Chris Sotomayor and Andres Mosa. Letterer is VC's Joe's Caramagna. Assistant editor Emily Shaw. Editor Bill Roseman. Editor-in-chief Axel Alonso. Chief creative officer Joe Quesada. Publishers Dan Buckley. And executive producers Alan Fine. We do get a little bit of a recap right here on the splash page. You really can't call this a splash page. It's just kind of a credits page. The only artwork on this credits page is a still of the last page of issue number one that shows Thor just kind of laying there on the ground with the ground on fire all around him and Mjolnir very close in the foreground. So here's our recap here. The Bifrost connecting Asgard to the Nine Realms has been destroyed, and Thor's wicked brother Loki was presumed dead. Thor realized his hasty destruction of the magical portal may have doomed the rest of the realms, and this doom became more imminent as Thor and his father Odin discovered that Loki was very much alive, and he had a plan. Loki set out to enslave the people of Earth by harnessing the dangerous power of the Tesseract. Loki stole the Tesseract and used its dark power to control Dr. Erik Selvig and Agent Clint Barton. In order to stop Loki and retrieve the Tesseract, Odin was forced to use a dark and dangerous energy to send Thor back to Earth. With the help of Captain America and Iron Man, will Thor be able to save humanity and bring his brother to justice? And I guess we'll find that out in the Avengers movie that came out, I think, a couple years ago now. So we start out the issue in Asgard, and we have the lady Sif, and she's having a conversation with Heimdall, who for once isn't standing with his sword in front of him, kind of like the Oscar statuette.
The Allfather lives. He is weak, but under Ear's care now.
I know, Lady Sif.
Tell me then. Then tell me, what of Thor? Did he survive the journey to Earth? Heimdall, does Thor still live?
Yes, Lady Sif. Thor lives, and he is in a mood.
He's found Loki, then?
Oh, yes. The sons of Odin have been reunited, and Thor has forged new allies on Earth.
Yet you take no comfort in this news, Heimdall? Why?
Because Loki has allies as well.
I just want to talk about what's been going on during this little bit of dialogue here. Because we see what Heimdall is looking at. We first see that Thor has crash-landed on Earth, and he's laying unconscious or stunned or whatever in this big crater in Norway somewhere. We see that Mjolnir is laying by his side, crackling with lightning. And we see Thor's hand reach out and grab it. And Thor takes to the air, and he is heading towards Germany, of course, to the fight with Loki, where Captain America and Iron Man are. And we see scenes from the Avengers movie. We see Thor grabbing Loki around the throat and banging him against the wall. Remember that? We have Thor smashing his hammer into Captain America's shield and having this big shockwave that comes out. All this stuff was in the Avengers. And we then get a full-page spread of Loki and his alien allies looking very Jack Kirby New Worlds-ish in this particular version. I don't know if they used the actual designs for the aliens in this or not, but they look pretty cool. And of course, you have the giant armored slug things flying through the air, which is one of my favorite parts of the Avengers movie. So Heimdall says, yes, he has allies, many thousands of them. Oh, I didn't realize that the fight took place in Manhattan. I thought it was in Germany for some reason. Anyway, so we then shift to Tromso, Norway. If you remember, Jane Foster and Darcy accepted some sort of a position. And they're in this laboratory somewhere in Norway. And Darcy's like, Jane?
Not no, Darcy. We flew all the way from New Mexico at your request. Been here for 2 days now, and no one seems to know why we're here.
Dr. Foster, this is just some random guy here.
No, Jane, I want to talk to whoever's in charge of this facility right now.
As I've already said, Dr. Hilgard has been delayed, but once he arrives, he'll explain everything to you. Jane?
No, he won't, because we're leaving.
Jane?
Darcy, not
Thor.
Darcy, that got her attention.
What? Oh my God.
I know, right?
They're watching the battle in Manhattan take place on the computer screen in front of Darcy. And she's like, Jane, this is happening, like, right now. The doctor who's talking to, you're not supposed to have access to that. And Darcy's like, why? Because of your little firewall and security protocols? How lame do you think we are?
So, do you want to tell me why I'm really here? Or should I just call Agent Coulson myself?
You see, we were told to
stop. Tell me after this is over.
And Darcy's like, busted. I kind of like this little scene. It's kind of a cute little character thing. And I guess that's what most of this two-parter thing is little character bits. We have Iron Man and Thor flying through the air. I guess this is during the big battle. And Iron Man's like,
you ever watch Game of Thrones?
And Thor's like, what?
The TV show, Game of Thrones. It's like you, but instead of a magic hammer, they have dragons and sex.
This is no game, Howardson.
I know. It's a TV show.
Yet you find time to jest while your people are dying, while your entire world is under.
And one of these slug things kind of reaches out and chomps on Thor. And Iron Man's like,
what about Mad Men?
I think this is something that actually was just taken right out of the movie.
Jarvis, give me something.
You might want to stand back, sir.
What? Why?
And you see lightning coming from the inside of this flying slug beast. And with a choom and a croom, the slug beast falls to the ground. It's like two big burning holes. And we see Thor streaking off into the sky and Hawkeye, the Black Widow, and Captain America on the ground. And Black Widow's like, convinced yet? And Captain America's like, he still dresses funny.
Look who's talking, says Hawkeye.
I'm not going to lie. That was pretty gross, says Iron Man.
And we see Thor whirling his hammer around. And he's shouting out. This is a really nice shot of Thor, by the way, by Ron Lim.
Where is Loki?
And he doesn't look too happy at what's going on here. And we then skip the final battle with Loki. And we come to the very end of the movie. If you remember how Thor and Loki transported themselves back to Asgard using the cosmic cube / tesseract, whatever they're calling it in this movie. Remember, they kind of stood there in a circle, with each one held the other end of it, and then they kind of twisted it, and that transported them away. And that's what you see here, is basically Thor and Loki blasting off back to Asgard. And we get a little bit of dialogue from Thor here.
Tell me, brother, with hundreds of mortals dead, Earth nearly destroyed, and you solely to blame for it all. What will you say for yourself when you face justice?
And he removes Loki's gag. You remember they put a gag over his mouth so he couldn't cast any spells. And Loki's like, did you miss me? And we see that, you know, they're in the city of Asgard. And Frigga comes up and embraces Loki, which is kind of a touching moment here. And she's like, I knew you would return to us. And Odin interrupts. He's like,
enough. I would speak with the prisoner alone.
And now one of the many differences here in the art style between Ron Lim and the gentleman who drew the last issue is that the characters in this comic book, they don't really resemble the characters we saw last time. I like Ron Lim's artwork, and we'll talk more about this later, but all of the characters are very definitely the movie-verse characters. Unlike last issue, where you kind of say, okay, well, this is Odin. He looks like a cross between the movie Odin and the Odin in the comics. This is definitely channeling the Marvel movie-verse versions of these characters. So we have Odin, and he has this sort of stapled-on eye patch, remember, that he had in the Avengers movie and of course, in Thor 1. Frigga is saying to Loki, be strong, as he goes off to talk with Odin. And everyone leaves them, leaving the Allfather and the Trickster alone. And Loki's like, I really don't see what all the fuss is about. I intended to rule Earth with the same firm hand with which you rule all the Nine Realms, to show humanity the same mercy you've granted your opponents. And if given the chance, I might have even stolen a mortal infant and raised it as my own.
Frigga clings to you like the mother of a drowned child. But she is too late to save you. The boy I knew is dead. What remains is a creature I do not recognize. Frigga is why you still live. But this was the last time you will ever see her. Spend the rest of your wicked days in the dungeons, Loki Laufeyson.
And Loki actually has kind of a shocked look on his face that Odin has spoken this way to him. Although, I'll be honest, I don't really know what was so shocking about calling him by his name. We then shift scenes and we are back in New York City, and we have Jane and Darcy have arrived on the scene, and they are going to visit Dr. Selvig, who apparently is in the hospital here.
If S.H.I.E.L.D. had just told me the truth, I could have helped.
Like what? Fight aliens?
I could have helped shut down the portal.
You've been awake for 72 hours. Maybe you should take a nap. You should definitely take a shower.
I'm not doing anything until I find Eric.
And they see him, and Eric is there, and he's just sitting in a chair, just like fully dressed and in a chair. Doesn't look sick at all. It's like, Jane, you shouldn't be here.
Eric, are you all right?
Listen to me. He knows about you. He was in my head. I saw. Loki knows about you. You're in great danger.
Eric, I'm okay.
Wait, it's over, isn't it? I can't think.
You're going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. I promise.
Thank you, Jane. Thor. Thor wanted me to tell you something, but I can't remember.
What was it?
Where is he? I need to see him.
He's outside the window.
No, he's gone.
And you see Jane kind of looking forlornly out the hospital room window. And we have a double page ad for Infinity. Nothing lasts forever. I guess this is the big Avengers related crossover they've got going on, which I really, frankly, don't really give much of a rat's ass about. We then have another double page spread. We go right into it, taking us to the planet Vanaheim, home of Hogan, if you do remember. And we see these alien spaceships kind of floating in the air like bricks, though bricks don't really float in the air the way these things do. Get a little bit of exposition as we see scenes of carnage. Essentially, you know, spaceships blasting things on the ground. There's people fighting and dying, and there's a lot of burning going on, a lot of fire. All the coloring is really cool in this page. It's all kind of, you know, browns and orange and yellow. Kind of a burning world, essentially. And we get this weird, like, Kirby tank sort of thing that looks like the sort of unworkable tank that Kirby would have come up with. And we get a little bit of exposition here.
The attack began 2 days ago. The Vanir fight bravely, but they are no match for the Marauders' numbers or savagery.
And we shift back to Asgard, where Heimdall and Thor are walking through the palace, and they're conversing here. And Heimdall says,
Nidavella, Nyx, Corbin, the Nine Realms and the worlds beyond all engulfed in chaos. Does Hogan know of Vanaheim?
Yes.
His village has not been attacked, but its fall is inevitable.
Perhaps not, says Thor.
And he hands the Tesseract, Cosmic Cube, to Heimdall and says,
use its power instead of the Allfather's to restore what I destroyed. Let the fires of Bifrost burn once more.
And we see Heimdall grabbing the cube out of the container and an energy beam kind of shooting out of it to, I guess, the remnants of the big whirling machine thing that Thor smashed to break the Rainbow Bridge. And we shift scenes once again back to Earth, and we have Jane and Darcy, and they're just kind of standing there and staring at the sky. And you have like the Milky Way and lots of stars and stuff. So they're obviously not in New York City anymore because I don't think you can see stars anywhere near New York City. And Darcy's like, Jane, he'll come back.
No, he won't. Thor was here and then he just left again. No message, nothing, not a word. For the last year, every waking thought I had was of him, of finding him, all the work I did. It was all for nothing. So that's it. I'm done.
And she goes sullenly away, sad Incredible Hulk music playing. Do, 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 do. Oh, all right. We then shift back to Asgard, where we have an assembling army. And we see the Asgardian army, and they're all dressed in this identical armor with these really ugly horned helmet things on them. We see the Warriors 3 and Sif. I'm getting to the point where I kind of wonder if they should just be called the Warriors 4. I mean, Sif seems to be, especially in the movie verse, a big part of that. Really, the first time, this is the first time that we've seen Fandral, Hogan, and Volstagg in this prelude thing. And we only see them for one panel. Thor is making an inspiring speech as Heimdall is restoring the Rainbow Bridge. And he's like, to fight, to bleed, to die for those we love and cherish. To wage war on those who would kill any who cannot defend themselves. To hold back the ever-growing tide of Ragnarok that comes to claim us all. This is not our duty. It is the reason for our very existence. Since the days of Bor and Buri before him, we have protected the Nine Realms. But for too long, Asgard has been cut off from those who depend on our blood and courage for their survival. Without our light, darkness spreads. But the time of darkness is at an end. Asgard returns. And we see that the various branches of the Rainbow Bridge that go to the various Nine Worlds are reestablishing themselves. We see what looks like Alfheim, sort of a Sylvan elf kingdom. And we see, you know, the Bifrost kind of coming down into the middle of it all. And we see another planet that I'm not sure who these guys are, but they're dressing in kind of gold, orange armor. And we see the Bifrost landing there, too. We have a planet that we don't recognize, but the aliens here, they have yellow skin. They look a lot like Beta Ray Bill's people. I don't know if they're going to have Beta Ray Bill and Thor, too. It would be kind of interesting if they did. But they definitely, this seems to be that planet. I don't actually know if it is. And then, of course, we see the land of the trolls. And again, this troll that looks a whole lot like Ulic here. As the Bifrost establishes itself on their planet with the words, Asgard, return. And there will be hell to pay, shouts Thor. And he comes streaming across the Rainbow Bridge. And this is to be continued in Thor, the Dark World, in theaters November 8th, 2013. Just 3 weeks from now, folks, that's when we can see Thor the Dark World. And I definitely am looking forward to this. And we'll be back with a few comments after this important message.
Hey, Kids Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved?
We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do, we still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
All right, so as you might well imagine, I do have a few comments about this issue, though to be honest, I don't have that many. Again, it's not an issue where a lot happens. We have a lot of conversations, not a lot of busting heads. Most of the fighting that occurs in this comic is flashbacks to the Avengers movie. We've all seen the Avengers movie, at least, you know, most of us have. So there's nothing really surprising here. Artwork by Ron Lim, very serviceable. There's a few problems I have with it. Again, we have a problem with characters not being consistent from panel to panel. Though Ron Lim, he doesn't have as realistic a style as the artist last issue. He definitely is more consistent as far as his portrayals go. I don't like the fact that the characters don't look like themselves. That's one of the things I kind of liked about last issue, that the artist wasn't just copying the actors in the movie, that they kind of looked like the characters without looking like the actors. Here, it definitely seems as though Lim is trying to make the characters, if not look like the actors, look like the characters in the movies. Some of the plot devices here don't make a lot of sense. They're getting Jane out of the way by taking her to Norway. I don't really know if that makes a lot of sense. Why Norway? Was that just a way to lure her there, thinking that Thor might be there? I mean, honestly, it just seems like a pointless exercise. Who's Jane Foster? She doesn't have this great access to everything. There's nothing that she could really do to foil S.H.I.E.L.D.'s plans or to hurt the fight against the aliens in the Avengers movie or whatever. Obviously, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would they want to distract her in this way? What purpose is there for it? I just don't really get it. You know, scenes from the Avengers, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I guess you kind of have to reference them because that's what you have to do. I like the little scene between Loki and Odin, though, because I think that that's a nice, nice character moment. I wonder if this is something that we're going to see echoed in Thor 2. I mean, it would only make sense. I think that this is maybe, I don't know, maybe too important a moment to have happen in a promotional comic like this. Maybe this is something that should happen in Thor 2. If you pick up right where the Avengers left off. However, I have a feeling that that's not what's going to happen in Thor 2. Though I could be wrong. I guess, you know, I mean, I don't know what's happening in Thor 2 any more than anybody else does. Of course, you have to have the, you know, the nods to all the characters. You know, Dr. Selvig, we have Darcy, we have Jane. But really not that many other characters involved. I mean, whether Asgardian or on Earth. We just have sort of the main characters and nobody else. I kind of wonder if that's something to do with the various agreements and so forth, is that you can only use certain characters. That seems like the kind of thing you would find in a movie crossover comic. Once again, not digging the Legolas hair on Thor, though Ron Lim draws it to be more kind of an Asgardian mullet. Which I'm not really sure works for me as well. I think Volstagg in the one panel where he appears actually looks a bit like a troll. He's got kind of that Ulic beard. The only thing he doesn't have is like the big snaggle teeth and the pointy ears. And that's pretty much it, really. There's really not a lot else to talk about here. Once again, it's a promotional piece. I don't think it was really meant to be anything fantastic. And yeah, it kind of lives up to not being anything fantastic. But it's enjoyable enough, and it certainly is going to, you know, give some people a little bit more of an appetite for Thor 2. In a sense, it's a little bit like an appetizer, though kind of a cheap, unsatisfying appetizer. Like if you went to a fancy restaurant and you got Ritz crackers with Cheese Whiz on them, you know, it's something that really doesn't kind of fit. All right, so with that, if you want to email the show, please feel free to do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. We always love to hear from people. We love feedback. And, of course, we do read out email on the show. Unless, of course, you ask us not to, in which case, then I might just paraphrase it. So we also have a Facebook group that you can join, and feel free to come over and join the conversations over there. Been a little bit quiet lately, so, of course, it's always good to get a lot of new blood over there. All right, so with that, we will sign off for now, and we will see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is copyright Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all related characters are copyright Marvel Comics. Any other characters that appear on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders. We don't own any of this as much as we'd like to. The stories covered on this podcast are for entertainment, educational, and review purposes only. If you like what you've heard on today's program, please tell your friends, drop an iTunes review, or join our Facebook group. Music from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, is copyright Mott's Vent and is used with permission because Mott's is simply awesome. Radio Free Asgard should not be downloaded while pregnant, nursing, or operating heavy machinery. And we are not responsible for any damages incurred as the result of this misuse. Side effects may include being lost in a cave and finding a magical hammer and falling in love with Jane Foster. Once again, thank you for listening to Radio Free Asgard.